learning Parshas Pinchas, and we're hoping that this limud will be a zchus during the period of time that we're entering in as of tomorrow night, which is called Bein HaMetzorim, for a geula. So reading about Pinchas and his great act of kana'ut, as we call it, in which he was zealous on behalf of God, that reading itself should be a merit that God should bring about the geula. Amen.
Hey,
right.
This is going to tomorrow night, which is Shabbos.
Tomorrow night starts the 3 weeks, but we won't fast tomorrow night because on Shabbos we don't fast.
Right, so fast. Consider it as Bein HaMetzorim on Shabbos.
Sure. By definition, we always start Bein HaMetzorim on the 17th of Tammuz because it's a 3 week period. Now, why was Pinchas Zocha? Pinchas, we want to analyze his great action. But first we have to know what the reward for his action was, because if you judge the reward, you begin to understand that he must have done something absolutely phenomenal, because the reward was phenomenal. And what was the phenomenal nature of the reward? By the way, what you have in front of you is recycled paper, because they didn't have paper. So I went into Seamus to dig up recycled paper. So you look on one side of the page and not on the other side. I mean, you can look on the other side of the page, but it's not relevant to us today. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have told you this, Doc. I see now you're reading the other side of the page. I defeated my whole purpose here. Okay. You know, it's like you have many toys in the room, and you tell the child, don't play with this toy. So the first thing he does, he's not interested in any other toy, just the one that you told him not to play with. Anyway, the Pasuk says in our parasha, Parsha's Pinchas, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Limar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aron HaKohen, Heshiv es Chamasi, he stopped my wrath, God says. Me'al b'nei Yisrael, I was very angry with today. So you remember that the people of Israel were having this znus relationship with the daughters of Moab. I'm not going to describe, you know, what they did with those girls, because I don't think it's proper to describe it, but you know, Chazal talk about different things that went on over there, and it wasn't kosher, that I can promise you. You know, there's certain places in the Catskill Mountains, you know, where people go, that, you know, the food is kosher, but there are other things that are not so kosher. But I don't want to say anything to Mimotzi Laz. So anyway, so what did Pinchas do? The Torah says that Lo Chilisi es Bnei Yisrael. Unbelievable that Klal Yisrael, the whole future of Klal Yisrael, was in jeopardy, and it was the act of Pinchas that saved Klal Yisrael. And therefore, listen to the blessing and the reward that Pinchas achieved. Lachein amar hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom. Brisi shalom, a covenant of peace. What does that mean, a covenant of peace? So we're going to look into Targum Yonasan, which is written in very heavy Aramaic. And again, if you come back to me in about 50 years in Rabbi Moshe, I'll ask you to read this next couple of lines in Aramaic, and I promise you will have no clue what it means 50 years from now. Because again, what do you say?
I'm afraid at my stage tomorrow I know what it means.
No, you're saying that you're learning Aramaic, you know, and you'd be able to learn, you know, now read a Gemara on your own. Trust me, I've been learning Gemara for a long time. It's really getting close to 6 decades. And I have no clue how to read this paragraph. But thank God, in the Shilui Pinchas, he gives you a Hebrew translation of the paragraph. Okay, and he says the following, Esprit Shalom, Hare ani koresi mo Esprit Shalom, ve'esenu, I will make him, meaning Pinchas, malach, an angel, kayom means alive. You know, it sounds like, you know, it's no longer Pinchas as flesh and blood. The yichye li olam, he will live for all of eternity. And now here's the punchline. What does the word shalom mean? Shalom means levaser al hagu'ula ba'achrit hayamim. You can imagine how complicated this is in Aramaic. It's complicated enough in Hebrew. What does it mean, levaser? But we translate this into fancy English as a harbinger, as someone who tells he gets you all psyched up because he's telling you that there's going to be a major historical enterprise or event that's going to happen. What is that? The Gula. What is Gula in English? the ultimate redemption, excellent redemption, Bachrit HaYamim at the end of days, and who's going to warn us? Who's going to be bringing us the good news and warning us that we better prepare for this great day? It's going to be Pinchas. But not Pinchas as a human being, as we know, flesh and blood, who's here today and gone tomorrow, but Pinchas as a Malach. Can you imagine a human being becoming a Malach, and he's going to be the one who's going to notify us about Shalom, about this peace. Peace meaning the final rectification of any sort of split between two partners, which means between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. It's going to be Pinchas. He's the one who's going to play that pivotal role at a moment, a critical moment, a crossroads in Jewish history. And in truth, if you read a pasuk in Malachi, we're going to find that there's a different person with a different name, who's going to be the Mavaser HaGeula, who's going to tell us about the redemption. Who's that? Anybody know?
Eliyahu.
Excellent, Eliyahu. And this leads us to the conclusion, which we're going to develop over the course of this year, that Pinchas is Eliyahu, and they are both the same. Now, what does that mean, they're both the same? We're talking about a spiritual, shall we say, synthesis or identification of Pinchas and Eliyahu. Now we want to understand that this great schar, who is it that's going to prepare us for the coming of the Mashiach? It's going to be Pinchas. And now he becomes a Malach. He's going to appear in the guise of Eliyahu HaNavi, who's going to Veheshiv Levavas Al Bonim at the end of time. What is the Midah Keneged Midah? What is the great act of Pinchas for which he deserves this Brisi Shalom? So we're going to take a look at it in the middle category, in the middle column, for those who like a text. I never know if you like a text or not. I try my best to photocopy the text for you. We're going to learn Reb Nosson Shapiro. Reb Nosson Shapiro was more or less a contemporary of the Arizal, who lived five centuries ago. And he is the grandfather of another great Kabbalist by the name of Shapiro, by the name of the Megala Amuko. So he, in a funny sort of sense, the Zayda is known more for his grandson. I have his commentary on Birkas HaMazon, and I got it out of the library, the Hebrew University Library, the main library, and I worked on it for months, and I published 300 notes, and I republished the text. The text was almost illegible. I gave it out at my son's wedding as a gift to anyone who came to my son's wedding. I still have a few copies if you ever want. It's very hard to get commentaries on Birkat HaMazon. This is one from this Reb Nosson Shapiro. And he writes the following, Nira Li, Shalio Atishbi, Hu Yefaresh Kushos V'Boyos Li Asid. Right? We have something called Teku. And Eliyahu is going to answer all these questions, these contradictions that we have in understanding the Torah in the future at the end of days. And what is the peace? Remember we said that God gave Pinchas a Bris Shalom. What is this peace? Here's a very new revolutionary take on the peace. He says, "Yes, Shalom Bein Talmidei Chachamim." In other words, there's fighting, there are controversies and debates amongst the Chachamim, amongst the scholars. And I'm going to give Eliyahu HaNavi a role to play, a fantastic role. He's going to end all those controversies. He's going to find a peace and a harmony between the various shitot. You know, you think about the Jewish community today, which is so splintered. It's Eliyahu HaNavi who's going to create this Bris Shalom, bringing everyone together. And then he says the following. If you take a look at the pasuk, it says, Hineni nosein lo es Brisi Shalom. And Reb Nosson Shapiro is going to darshan the word S. And he says the following, the Aleph of S is a reference to Eliyahu, and the Tav of S is an allusion to Tishbi. And then it says S Brisi. Now Bris is always in Tanakh a substitute or a synonym to replace the word Torah. Torah is always considered Bris. There are many psukim in the Torah that call Torah Bris. So I'm going to give Eliyahu Tishbi the Torah. And after the word Bris, it says Brisi Shalom. And that Shalom is the Shalom of Torah, the peace and the harmony of Torah amongst the scholars. And that's going to be Ribui Shalom Ba'olam. That's going to have an impact on the entire world. and there's going to be more peace and harmony on the world. And Elio has that special role. Now, why was Elio chosen for this great role? The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot a halacha, and that halacha is kanoim pogim bo. Okay. And it was Eliyahu, again in a different presentation called Pinchas, who reminded Moshe Rabbeinu of the halacha that he himself, Moshe, had taught. But Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha that he taught. So you see that Eliyahu has a role to play in revealing the Torah. And therefore, he will clarify all the ambiguities of the Torah at the end of days. Since he reminded his Rebbe, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, of a halacha, therefore at the end of time, liatid lavo, he will be the one who's going to interpret the Torah and clarify any issues in the Torah. That's called kushot vabayot. Eliyahu's role is to answer all these questions. So it means that at the moment that Zimri was doing this action with Cosby, you remember that whole story,
yeah.
Pinchas was the one who asked Moshe Rabbeinu, well, what should we be doing in this case? And Moshe was stumped, he didn't have an answer. And at that point, Pinchas reminds Moshe Rabbeinu of what he himself, Moshe, taught us, called Kanoim Pogimbo. And as a result, there's something fantastic going on over here. Elio, who's now again Pinchas, he's revealing the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine revealing the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And because he played such an important role in revealing the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore he's going to reveal the Torah at the end of time, because we're left with so many ambiguities and inconsistencies. It's going to be Eliyahu's role to clarify all that, and that's going to make shalom. Why is that called brisi? Bris is Torah. Shalom, peace. Peace between whom? Exactly. Talmidei Chachamim who are having this infighting. They don't know. Well, yeah, one says it means this, one says it means that, one says Tame, one says Tar.
Yes.
And this is all what's going on.
Now, I don't say it's possible why he was self-familiar with Moshe, was it with his uncle? With his uncle.
And it was also his Rebbe. It was also his Rebbe. So he had a double relationship with Moshe. I don't know what he called him. Did he call him, you know, we have a word in Yiddish called feta. I don't know if you've ever heard of feta. Feta means an uncle. A tanta is an aunt. So I don't know if he called him feta Moshe, you know, or maybe he called him Moshe Rabbeinu, or maybe he called him just Rabbeinu. You know, he was the Torah was passed down, transmitted from Moshe to Pinchas. So Pinchas has a real important role.
He was actually his great uncle, wasn't he?
No.
Yeah. Pinchas' father.
Do you mind if we? No, I don't mind if you gentlemen discuss that. I'm just trying to get to it. Okay, no. Please continue the discussion. What we now want to study is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us a story about Zimri ben Solu, who brings Cosby ben Tzur in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he grabs, you know, Zimri grabs onto Cosby, brings her to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, can I marry this woman or can I not marry this woman? Can I have a relationship with her or not? If you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to marry this girl, then what about Bas Yisro? Who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisro? Why is this woman, who's from Moab, any better than the daughter of Yisro? But at this point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu gets a little bit confused. And this Alma Mimenu Alocha, you know, this whole public situation confuses Moshe Rabbeinu, confounds him. You know, he needs help at this point to calm himself down. And go kulam bibchia, meaning nobody knew what the answer to this issue was. How could we counter against Zimri's claim? So they broke down and they started crying. And that's the pasuk that says, Vehema bochim pesach ol moed. And then Vayar Pinchas ben Eliezer. That's the next, ben Elazar. What's the next stage? What did Pinchas see? So the Gemara tells us in the name of Rav, he saw the Maisa, what was going on, v'nizkar halacha, and he reminded himself halacha. And he turns to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says to his great uncle, right, that, as you point out, Lo kachli maritanu, didn't you teach us this halacha when you came down from Har Sinai? Haboel aramis, if a man has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, in this case she's an aramis from one of the descendants of Moab, and not only that, she never converted, I mean, not like the case of Tzipporah, is kanoim pogimbo. Amalo. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds with, again, we have to understand the Aramaic here, but we'll try to do the best we can. Karaina de Igirta iu lahu paranka. Now, the one who read the Igeres, and he was the one who read out the law, he should be the shliach to fulfill what it says in the law, because he was the one who read this legal text. So in other words, you were the one, Pinchas, who remembered this halacha, and only you remembered this halacha. Therefore, you should be the shliach to fulfill this halacha. We're going to give you that merit. And that's exactly what Pinchas does. He picks himself up amongst the assembly, the congregation of Israel, and he kills Zimri ben Salui. But we see very clearly that Pinchas was able to remind Moshe Rabbeinu of a certain halacha that was completely forgotten. And even though amongst Shevet Levi, We have those, he says, Afilu Mikol Shevet Levi V'Yosef. In other words, there were some great scholars in the Jewish community, Shevet Levi. And yet, there was only one person, Pinchas, who remembered this halacha. And even Moshe Rabbeinu himself forgot this halacha. So because of this great merit that he, Pinchas, reminded and jolted Moshe Rabbeinu's memory and brought this halacha back into the Torah, therefore, he's the one who's going to fulfill this halach of Kanoim Pogimbo, and that's his special rights, and that's his mitzvah, and as a result of this mitzvah, he saves all of Klal Yisrael. So let's go back to Rav Nosson Shapiro that we started with. He tells us that Elio is going to be the one who interprets the Torah and clarifies the Torah. That's a mida k'neged mida, that's a measure for a measure, a reward that's appropriate for him, because he, Elio, in the guise of Pinchas, was the one who remembered the halacha, clarified the halacha, and all of Klal Yisrael, including Moshe Rabbeinu, had forgotten the halacha. So this is what we say about Elio HaNavi Teku. Teku, again, there are many different understandings of Teku, but one of them is Tishbi Yitareitz Kushis Vabayis. You've all heard of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not going to test you and ask you how many times Teku appears in Shas, but you can do a word search. It's many, many times. So we see that there are many issues that have to be clarified. And the Tosis Yontif at the end of Masechta Edios quotes the Chidah, and he says that Nisharu B'Teku, in the Gemara over there in Yevamos, they end up with a Teku. Shehu Rashi Tevos Tishbi Yitaritz Kushos V'Abayos V'hine Ki Arav Yaivitz. His name is Rav Yaakov Emden, by the way, also lived about 5 centuries ago. The Sefer Lechem Shemayim B'Sof Hedios, Hiligal said, he didn't accept this interpretation of Teku. But Lo Ra, the Sefer Kadosh Akana, Akana is a very holy book, Kosav Kane, he mentions this Rashi Tevis. The Rambam, by the way, in 2 chapters that were not printed in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah, also writes that Tishbi Yataritz Kushos V'Abayis. So this is what we're going to work with, this premise that Liyosid Love in the future, at the end of time, Elio HaNavi is going to solve and resolve all the sveikos, all the questions and the ambiguities in the Torah. And let's take a look at a pasuk in Hoshaya HaNavi. He says, Nero Lachem Nir, Niru Lachem Nir, V'Eis Lidrosh Es Hashem, Ad She'Yavo V'Yoret Tzedek Lachem. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that this pasuk about lighting and illuminating something is a reference to a suffix, some doubt about the halacha. And the Gemara tells us the following story. Ra chazir shekaruch achar rachel. Okay, these are 2 different animals. So you have one animal which is called a chazir. I think we translate it as a swine. And then you have another animal called Rachel, that's a female sheep. And the chazir is attached to the Rachel. And as a result, what happens is, the Rachel is nursing the chazir. The question is, does that mean that this chazir was born to a Rachel? Now that's a pretty freaky kind of kind of experience, right? So what it really means is that we can eat this animal, because even though it looks like a chazir, it's not really a chazir. Genetically, it's a rachel. Today, by the way, you know, the genetics has developed in such a way that such a thing can be done. And another issue is going to be, if we assume that this chazir was born to the rachel, and the circumstantial evidence indicates that, because the rachel is feeding the chazir, nursing the chazir, then the mother already has an offspring, and therefore there's no bechar, because bechar is always the peterechem, the first one. And the Gemara wants to know whether you're allowed to eat this chazir, because it's not really a chazir. And the Gemara ends up by saying that ad sheyavo v'yoreh tzedek lachem, we have to wait until somebody will come and teach us righteousness. As for now, we don't have an answer to this question. We have a suffix. So again, do you look at the tzuras animal as it appears, and it appears as a chazir, or do you look at circumstantial evidence, which seems to assume that don't judge a book by its cover, and it's not really a chazir? So what does it mean when the Gemara says ad yavo, until he comes? Who is he? Yoret tzedek lachem, the person who will give you the guidance and the ruling of tzedek, of justice. Says Rashi, who is this person? The Gemara doesn't mention him by name. Achi yovel yo, the yore im mutter am osuch. I mean, you should underline this, because, you know, this Rashi is very, very radical. Normally, the halacha is that Elio is understood to be what? How would you categorize him? I'll give you maybe a multiple choice question. Here they call it Shita Merikai. Okay? Is Elio categorized as a Navi? Is he categorized as a Melech? Is he categorized as a judge? He's a Navi, right? Elio a Navi. Now, a Navi cannot say anything about halacha. That's called Lova Shamayim. A Navi has no capacity to tell us, well, I got prophecy and I'll tell you what the halacha is. We don't determine halacha based on prophecy. But what Rashi, I think, might be saying here about Achiyo Elio, he doesn't mean Elio as a Navi. Not Elio who's transmitting the word of God in prophecy. No, that's impossible. That could not clarify the halacha. But what he means is Elio as a scholar. Elio is also, he wears two hats. You know, he's not only a Navi, but he's also a scholar. And the Mishnah also seems to indicate that Elio is going to come and... Are you familiar with the concept Yehi Munach? I mean, you don't know who something belongs to. There are two people fighting over it. So sometimes, again, you have to know all the rules. We put it into escrow. And we wait until Elio HaNavi is going to come and clarify who really has the proof that this money belongs to him. But in any event, there are great, great sources for the fact that Elio will clarify the law and determine all the sfeikos, and that's going to happen b'achris hayomim. Whether or not that's what teku means, we can negotiate that. But it might mean that tishbi yitaritz kushis v'abayis, but even if it doesn't mean that, the truth is that tishbi yitaritz kushis v'abayis, and we have many, many sources to prove that. Now, if you take a look at Reb Nosson Shapiro that we started with, and you read his language carefully, he adds a word here that l'chora doesn't make any sense. The word peh meaning a mouth. He says the following. Again, we're just rereading what we read before. Me'achar shayamazkir halach l'rabo, in the great merit of the fact that he, Pinchas, was able to remind Moshe Rabbeinu, his Rebbe of halach, l'chein yizke la'asid lavo, shehu yeh l'peh l'moshe. He will be a mouthpiece for Moshe. V'yafareish kol ha-Torah nilkam, and he'll interpret the entire Torah. What is this phrase, hu yeh l'peh l'Moshe? What does it really, really mean? So in order to understand that, we're going to go back to the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Because the first person to be called a peh, a mouthpiece for Moshe, is going to be whom?
Aaron,
excellent. Hello, Aaron Achicha Levi Yodati ki davar yidaberu v'gam hineu yotzei l'karsecha v'rasa v'samach b'libo v'dibarte lov v'samti es advarim b'piv. Right, so God says, I'm going to put whatever words has to be said into his mouth. He will be very eloquent. So So HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds that he will speak to the people, and he, Aaron, will be for you as a peh, as a mouthpiece. Atati Elol Elokim, you will be his master. You know, it's, at the end of the day, he has to subjugate himself to you, but he will be your mouthpiece. Now, without going into the different names of the Zohar, you know, this Raya Mehem, the many different parts of the Zohar, according to the Zohar, Hu Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu, what does this mean? Gilol Rab Shimbar Yochai V'Talmidov, there's something that was revealed to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which he in turn transmitted to his students. Ki al Pinchas hu Elio nemar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen. The Torah goes out of its way to establish the Yichus, right, the lineage of Pinchas. He's the son of Elazar, who in turn is the son of Aaron Kohen. What does this mean? There's a certain chain, or shall we say, transmission. And Aaron is going to transmit to Elazar, and Elazar to Pinchas. That's father to son to grandson. And this teaches us that Aaron was a peh, and now Pinchas is going to become a peh. Do you see this, Rabosai? Why did the Torah have to emphasize Aaron HaKohen? And the answer is, according to Rav Shapiro, The emphasis here on Aaron HaKohen is that just like the Torah describes Aaron as Hu Yelechol LePeh, so too Pinchas is going to be a peh. So Kemosha Aaron Hoya Peh LeMoshe B'Shlichuso LeHotzias Yisrael Miguel. He's going to speak to Paro. Ken Ben Beno Shol Aaron, meaning Pinchas, Yeh LePeh LeMoshe Rabbeinu LeLamei Torah LeYisrael Yosid Lavo. He will be the one who will transmit the Torah at the end of days. And here's what the Zohar says. You'll see this in the middle column on page 2. Kemoshe Ne'emar B'Aaron Hu Yeh LeChol LePeh, Kach Gam Beno Yeh Li LePeh, Shehi HaTorah, a peh for the Torah. And which Torah? The Torah Shebal Peh. Mishum Shekmosha Yisi Barishona Kvad Peh Ukvad Lashon. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that I couldn't speak. I had a speech defect. Kach Yakimosi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kvad Peh B'Torah. Now Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to teach me Torah. Which Torah specifically? Torah Shebal Peh. Ukvad Lashon B'Torah Shebichsav. I can't read the Torah Shebichsav properly because I don't have the capability of doing so. But I will be able to understand the Torah Shebal Peh. Because Torah Shebal Peh doesn't fit into words, it's concepts. Shelo Yomru Elu Shelo Makirinosi Zeu Mishu Acher Velyo Hu Yeli LePeh Yovel Esakin Eskol Asfekos Halolu Uliyashiv Osam. What do we get from this presentation of Rav Nosson Shapiro? Nimtzeinu lemeidim mizeh, ki masha omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe v'haya, v'haya hu yiyeh l'chol l'peh. This is a remez to Aaron that his grandson, at the end of days, Pinchas, who's Elio, will be a peh for Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning he will interpret the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, he will teach all of Klal Yisrael. Pinchas was zochet to this great role, this great contribution to interpret the Torah at the end of days, because he taught Klal Yisrael a halacha that had gotten forgotten. Umei achar shayah mazkir halacha l'rabo, l'chein yizkel yosid lavo shuyeh l'peh l'moshe v'yafareish kol haTorah. This is an unbelievable schar. The reward that's given to Pinchas is an incredible, immeasurable reward. But where's the midah keneged midah? The reward is that he will be the Peh LeMoshe. He will clarify all the issues in Halacha. He's like the Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation to give the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand the Torah, and he forgot the Halacha of Kanoah and Pogumbo. And it is Pinchas who will reveal and remind Moshe Rabbeinu of that Torah. And therefore, Pinchas will be Zocher, that he will be the guide to Moshe Rabbeinu He will be the Peh L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Li'asid Lavo, and he will clarify any doubts, any ambiguities in the Torah, in the Halacha. That's the great tzchad that Pinchas receives, because he revealed a Halacha to Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, or shall we say, had forgotten. So the idea of Pinchas being a Peh, which again, if we go back to the Pasuk, we'll see that the Pasuk says that where is the Pasuk here? I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. Hu yelechol peh. Okay, fine. Now,
no, I thought if he's big reward was that he became a Kohen.
Well, again, it depends what you're emphasizing here. If you're emphasizing the Brit Shalom, then if the word Brit, as Rav Nosson Shapiro understands, is the Torah, then when the Torah says "Venatati lecha Brit," I'm giving you the Torah Shalom to make peace and clarify all the outstanding issues in Torah, then we're simply talking about not. Now, if you want to reconcile that with the fact that Pinchas is a Kohen, then you quote the Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi that says that that the Kohenim are in charge of clarifying the Torah. Right? What's the Pasuk say? Who remembers? What does it say there? It says that Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das V'Tori Yavakish Mipihu. Do you remember that pasuk? And that means that we're gonna come to the Kohen and we're gonna ask him to teach us Torah. But in the case of Pinchas, he has the final say on all those issues that were never clarified. So it's almost like there's a new giving of the Torah. So now, if you're following me, we're in the middle of page 3, but on the bottom of the middle column.
Page 3.
I'm sorry, page 2, I meant to say. And it says in the Pasuk, V'hoya hu yelecha lepeh, about Pinchas, it says he will be the peh. And Pinchas is Elio. He's the peh for Moshe Rabbeinu, Bigu'ul Asid, at the time of the ultimate redemption. And now we understand why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he appoints Aaron, and it says, Vayomer bi shlachno bi'ad tishlach, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu asks for Bakoshes Rachamim, shlachno shlichuscha bi'ad Pinchas. That's what the Targum Yonason says, sha'osid l'shtaleach b'sof hayomim. Interesting, that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, according to Targum Yonason, that the real decision or the real appointment as to who should lead the people of Israel, the answer should be Pinchas. Why is Pinchas worthy of leading Israel? And the answer is because he's the one, the Lasid Lavo, that will be sent on this great mission of interpreting the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this you'll see on the top left, that Pinchas should be the one who should play this role. And the reason why is because Pinchas is Elio and Liosid Lovo, he will clarify the Torah. Now the Pasuk says in Malachi, Hine Anochi Shalech Lachem, es Elio Anavi, etc., etc., Veheshiv Levos Albonin. So it sounds like Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, which means before the Mashiach comes, it's going to be Elio who's the Mavaser HaGeula. Now, if we go back into time, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, I think you should send the Shlichus in the hands of Aaron, is Heshiv Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, V'hoya hu yelecha lepeh, which according to the Targum Yonason is a reference to Pinchas. So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, although he's asking for Pinchas now to play that role of a shliach, and that's not going to happen, but ultimately Pinchas will play the role of a shliach, and that's at the time of Liosid Lovo, when Pinchas will interpret the Torah as Elio. That's an excellent question. Are you familiar with the phrase, the generation gap? Now, again, this is a phrase that comes from the Western culture, but it has a very specific meaning within the Torah. And that is that why is it that we have so much confusion about the Torah? There's so many issues. Yeah, I'm giving a series here. I'm filling in for one of the rabbis at the OU Center. And it's all of that confusion in the Torah. So many different halachas that we don't know about. I don't know if you know this. There was a tremendous controversy about artificial insemination, a tremendous controversy and confusion about the Eruv in the city of Paris, which had an impact on the city of New York and many other cities. What exactly are the laws of Eruv? And this goes on and on. I can give you dozens of examples that came up even during the Shoah of Kiddush Hashem. Why is there so much? We know why there's so much confusion. Because there's a breakdown in the transmission. And that breakdown in the transmission is called Lev Avos Al Banim, which means that the father is in charge. People think that the father is just biological. A father has to sign on the checks, you know, make sure that the finances go. But that there's much more profound responsibility of a father. A father is to teach. His primary responsibility is to teach his son Torah, and that's what it says in the pasuk, "V'shinantam levanecha." You should teach, and it says, "V'ha'yu advar ma'elu." And it says, "V'limanitem osam es b'neichem." You remember that pasuk in Kriyat Shema? That's the primary role of a father. The transmission of Torah is from father to son. And once there's a breakdown, we call it again a communication gap between two generations, but it's really not. It's a gap because the Torah wasn't passed on, wasn't transmitted. And the reason why it's not transmitted might be because the father himself was so busy, so to speak. He was so preoccupied with so many different things, whether it's parnos, whether it's running away from the goyim and the exile. There's so many different circumstances which made it almost virtually impossible for the transmission to go on from one generation to the other. In fact, this is a different discussion. Now, Molech, their basic agenda is to split, is to wedge between one generation and the other. They feel that if they could break up that chain, that golden chain of father-son, they could undermine the entire nation of Israel. And that's their goal. So that when Torah is unclear, it's because it hasn't been transmitted in the proper way. Who's going to be in charge of clarifying all those issues? It's going to be Eliyahu HaNavi. Ve'heshiv lev avos al banim. He's going to reconnect the generations, because when he clarifies the Torah, the chain of transmission will be reinstated.
And that therefore will result in the Talmidei Chachamim finding shalom between themselves. Right. Not understand.
Right. I mentioned to you before about artificial insemination. Do you know what a controversy there was? I'm talking in my youth, I'm going back probably, but when was the Tshuva Rav Moshe? I think it was like 35, 40 years ago. I could look it up. And Satma, it was terrible what was going on. There was a similar controversy over Erevin. I mean, and throughout Jewish history, the history of the Jewish people is unfortunately laden with different controversies about major issues in terms of how to interpret the Torah. We have a concept, for example, of compromise, right? So there are those who say no compromise, and there are others who say we have to compromise. You know, when they, again, I don't want to go into details here because it's very sensitive issues here, but when they created a mixed Zionist, a religious Zionist organization for children, mixed, I mean boys and girls, this was a tremendous controversy. There were those who said, how can we allow such a thing? And others said, if we don't allow this, then our children will go off to who knows where. They'll go to the secular... So how do you balance all these? And these created tremendous controversies throughout Jewish history. The halach itself is unclear, and that's the unfortunate situation as a result of the exile and the breakdown of the transmission of the Torah. And this is what Eliyahu HaNavi is meant to do, you know, by clarifying all these issues and understanding and explaining the Torah. There'll be a peace that's never been experienced since the time of Matan Torah. And he wants to add another thing about Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, when the Torah says, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'hayah hu yeh lecha lepeh," it's a reference to the ultimate Geula. And this will bring us back, you know, connect us back to what we started with today. Why is it that Parshas Pinchas is read at this time of the year, which is Bein HaMetzarim? And the answer is because we so desperately want the Geula, and therefore we mention the Parsha of Pinchas and the reward that was bestowed upon Pinchas, so we ask if that reward can become a reality now when we'll experience the Geula Sida, the ultimate redemption. We'll build the Beis Hamikdash, Mashiach will come, and Eliyahu HaNavi will clarify the Torah itself. And the pasuk says, "Vayah Hashem leMelech haKol haAretz byYom Uyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad." What does it mean that Liyasid Lo byYom Ahu? God will be one. What does it mean? God will be one, and He'll be the Melech haKol haAretz. And the answer is that there are two letters in God's name that are right now concealed. The holiest name of God is Yud, and then a Hey, and a Vav, and then a Hey. And all we're left with right now is Yud and He. So we're missing two letters. And those two letters are the He and the Vav. So Bayomahu Yiyeh, which means Havaya, Hashem, Havaya Yis'ala B'Shem Yiyeh. So it means that we'll get the Yiyeh, which means that the two letters of the He and the Vav will be returned. And that's going to be the ultimate clarity of the Torah when the Torah itself is revealed, because right now we're in a state of an incomplete understanding of the Torah. And now at this point, because I see it's getting a little bit late, I would ask you to fast forward, if you will, to page 3. And there's an amazing, amazing pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, which also describes the ultimate redemption, and you'll see this here on the right column on page 3, ki Torah me'iti teitze. What does it mean? Torah from me will go out. This is an allusion, this is a hint to what's going to happen in the future, and the catalyst, the person who's going to bring this about, is Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? Because he's going to be the pet for Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaTorah me'iti teitze. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah chadasha me'iti teitze. Remember I said to you that this whole enterprise of Eliyahu clarifying the Torah is like another round, another experience of Matan Torah. That's not far from the mark. Because when it says Torah me'iti teitze, the Medrash interprets that as Torah chadasha me'iti teitze. Again, that's a very dangerous kind of term to use, very sensitive. Torah chadasha, what does that mean? We believe that this Torah that we have is the eternal Torah. But it means a new Torah in the sense that we'll be able to interpret the Torah and understand the Torah. We're not changing the Torah, we're just clarifying the Torah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are 50 gates of wisdom that were created by God. They were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu minus one, so he only had 49 out of the 50. And hence the pasuk says, "Vatchasreu ma'at me'lokim." But liyasid lavo, that 50th gate will be revealed at the time of Mashiach. And then we'll have the 50th gate of Bina. We'll have a complete understanding. And if you take a look in the Arizal, again quoted by his students, he says, "Vehine zu remez leketer." Keter is a higher sphera, and this is going to happen at the time of the ultimate geula when we'll reach the 50th level of wisdom. The Archaim HaKadosh, by the way, today I think is his yahrzeit, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Or maybe it was last night. Yeah, if it was last night, it's probably today as well. And he says on the pasuk in at the end of Bamidbar, it says, "Yizal mayim midolyo v'zaro b'mayim rabim hakavon al pi divrayim." He quotes a medrash, and this medrash says that kol ish Yisrael kibel misinai chelik b'Torah. Every single individual has his own individual part of Torah. V'omar kan ki chol mashe mechadshim b'Torah hu midolyo mimashe dola dolo dola Moshe Rabbeinu shakol ramuz b'Torah shebichtav. Everything is built into the written Torah, and of course we don't see everything in the written Torah because it's b'derech remes. It's hidden. It's revealed. It's concealed. The Omar Loshen Dli is usually a bucket, and we raise the water from the bottom of the well. Lomar Ki be'erech pina gedola asher asid Hashem legalos liYisrael b'sof hadoros b'yimei melech haMashiach. He says the following, that ultimately, at the time of Mashiach, there's going to be a gilui, a revelation. What's going to be revealed? He says, "Bi'erech pina hagdola," and that means that the pina gdola, it's a corner. Usually a corner is not so significant. It's one little corner, but here it's going to be gdola, going to be tremendously significant. And that's the 50th shire, the 50th gate of Bina, of wisdom. And if you put the dli, which is the bucket, inside the water, and you have only 49, then as a result of bringing this water out and clarifying it, we're going to get to the 50th. We finally get to the 50th. Yizku l'kachas mayim rabim. We'll be able to get out of this well more water than is inside the well. There are only 49 portions, so we'll get out 50, and those represent the shar chamishim, the 50th gate of the gates of wisdom. And therefore, regarding the Shar HaChamishim, which has not yet been revealed in the world, but will be revealed in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Torah Hadashah Me'iti Teitze. And we ask the question, what is this new Torah that's going to come from Hashem? And the answer is that at that point, when Hashem reveals to Klal Yisrael the 50th gate of wisdom, is then we'll be able to learn not only the externality, so to speak, of Torah, but we'll be able to get a grasp in a deeper, from a deeper sense, a deeper revelation of Kol Sodas HaTorah Gnuzim B'Shar HaMishim, all the secrets of the Torah that are hidden in the 50th gate of wisdom will be revealed. And that's called, in the language of the Gemara, of Chagiga, Ar Ganuz. That is the light that is hidden and will be revealed, Li'asid Lavo, through Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu Navi is Pinchas. So let's wrap it up with the following. God is going to teach a Torah Chadasha to Klal Yisrael. And that's going to happen at the time of the Mashiach Li'asid Lava. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to play a major role. But again, he's going to need a mouthpiece. Now you may ask me, well, Moshe Rabbeinu is not alive, but at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, when Moshe Rabbeinu will again be revived, he will play the role of the Melech B'Yisrael, the King of Israel. But how can Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Torah when at that point in time Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah was confused? There's so many confusions, ambiguities. And the answer is, here's where Eliyahu HaNavi plays the major role. Yeah, Moshe l'asid lovu kvad peh u'kvad lashon. And what it means to say is that Klal Yisrael would not be able to understand the depths of the Torah until Pinchas, who's Eliyahu, will come and interpret the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu for all of Klal Yisrael. And that's going to be the great day of Mashiach, when the entire Torah will be clarified. And Eliyahu HaNavi is going to clarify all the sfeikas of the Torah. He will reveal the 50th gate of wisdom, which is the gate that has to be revealed. And therefore, as a result, Pinchas, who Eliyahu, he's going to be the teku, the Ataritz Kushas V'Abayos. One last thing before we go. Pinchas is the one who stops the Gili Arayas that was going on between Klal Yisrael and the Bnos Moab. Why is it that Pinchas played a role, and then as a reward he's going to play another role? What's the relation between these two roles? Pinchas' role was to terminate Arayas. Ultimately, his contribution, his responsibility would be to clarify all Sfeikos. Is there a connection between the two? And in the balance of this essay, Rabbi Friedman proves that its involvement in Arayos that undermines our ability to understand the Torah. And if we could put a stop to Arayos, it would give us a lot more clarity in Torah. And that's where Pinchas plays a role. He is going to he's going to terminate our rayos, and afterwards we have a gilui, an understanding of Torah in all its manifestations. Everything is going to be clarified, and that's the role of Pinchas, Zu, Elio, and Navi. And as a result, we're going to have Iti, a new Torah, a clarification of the old Torah, but a new Torah in that sense. And that's what's going to happen as a result of the great, great act of Pinchas, in which he created peace. The ultimate peace is going to be the peace in which the Torah will, if you pardon the pun, will piece together all the pieces of the Torah, and that'll be peace. Two different spellings, but homonyms. But that's going to be the day in which the simcha of understanding the Torah, it's a Torah chadosh mi'iti, will reach its fruition. And we can only hope and pray that that happens, hopefully during the 3 weeks that we're going to begin tomorrow night, and if not, then very soon afterwards, you know, after Tisha B'Av. You know, Chazal say that the Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, so we hope he's already born. He was born a few Tisha B'Avs ago. We're just waiting for him to reveal himself. And when that happens, we'll have such a clarity of vision in terms of who we are and what our Torah is. It'll be Tishbi, Yatarix, Kushis, Vabayas, Vemevi, Yamenu. Thank you so much.
Show me in Yeshua, you see the Siftei, God, what is it?